It is a nutritionist, Amanda Brown, who joins us with some thoughts on eating healthily in times of inflation. Kia ora, Amanda. Welcome back to Nights.
Kia ora, Brian. Thanks for having me again.
It's nice to have you on. I'm assuming that you went to the supermarket and you had a bit of a shock not too long ago about the price of something.
I think we've been getting a shock at the supermarket since the start of the year. I remember doing a talk on this exact subject, I think back in February or March, and at the time Stats NZ had reported that it was the highest food price increase in a long time. And then we can just see in the latest stats that, you know, prices have been up at the largest increase since July 2009. So it's just each month it seems to be getting more and more expensive.
Because, you know, sometimes I will read about healthy food and I think, oh yeah, well, that stuff looks great. And I think in our household we eat pretty healthily, but we are aware that we have the income in our household to be able to afford this. That only recently have we had to say, or my partner, more correctly, because she does the hard yards on this, that's really like at the tip of our budget, you know. We've always had sufficient income. Now, there's some things now that maybe we're not buying so much of. But what I'm saying is this is much more of a reality for some people. And the dilemma in terms of eating healthily and eating in an affordable way are much more real for people on lower incomes, aren't they?
Absolutely. Like you said, we're all feeling it, but definitely for people on lower incomes, you know, they've got less wriggle room when it comes to things, essential things like rent, power, that type of stuff. You can't really tweak those things. But when it comes to food, even though that's still essential, that's often where, unfortunately, people have to cut things from their budget.
So, Amanda, where would you start? What's the first piece of advice? What's the first thing you yourself do when you're thinking, okay, I want X amount, I want it to be healthy, I have X amount of dollars only?
So yeah, it really does come down to that planning first off, having a budget in mind, and when you're going to the supermarket, you know, trying to stick to what's on your list, buying just what you need, because in New Zealand, we actually have an issue with our food waste as well. So households throw away over 80 kilograms of edible food each year. So at a national scale, that's more than $1 billion. And it's on food that is edible. It's just, you know, when we go to the supermarket, we get captivated by the brands, the specials, the sights, the smells, all that type of stuff. It can be really tempting to buy things that aren't necessarily on our list. We might end up going out for dinner or going to a friend's house. So then there's this food that ends up getting wasted. So probably the foundation would be planning some of your meals. It might feel overwhelming to plan out the entire week, but it could just be simply, you know, planning your lunches for the week. It could be starting off with a couple of days, getting into that habit, and then you'll find that you're spending less because you're buying just what you need. And not only that, you're not throwing out things and wasting food either.
Speaking of planning lunches, how important do you think, Amanda, it is that you try and have the food you have during your meal breaks, assuming you don't work at home, catered for yourself rather than going to the shop?
Again, going not only to the supermarket but to other shops, there's lots of temptation there as well. I'm a huge fan of leftovers, so, you know, cooking once for and having multiple meals out of that, because that takes away some of those extra food decisions in the day. It's, you're organized. It's a lot faster. And, you know, sometimes our leftovers, they marinate overnight and they can taste better the next day. Mm-hmm. And often in the lunchroom, people are envious of the leftovers, not the things that someone's picked up from the shop down the road.
What about one of the issues? You talked about food waste, and I'm wondering whether, you know, we're encouraged to buy fresh, and I try to buy fresh myself when I'm out buying food and prefer it, but of course, it's only fresh for a while, and then if you don't eat it, maybe it goes into the bin. And by that, I mean the fresh bin in the fridge, and then It's not, a few days later, it's not fresh anymore, and a few days after that, it's been chucked out. So what I'm getting at is whether sometimes it's wiser to get frozen or canned stuff, even if fresh is best, but you may be less likely to waste those because they store better.
Absolutely. That's another fantastic tip there. Usually when we think about healthy eating, you know, our fresh fruit and vegetables, that stuff is really comes to mind first. But actually frozen and tinned fruits and vegetables, they are really great as well. And the way that technology has improved, the way that things are picked, you know, all those nutrients are snapped in as soon as something is picked, and the nutritional quality between frozen, tinned and fresh, there's really not that much of a difference. And yeah, the tinned stuff doesn't go off as quickly, same with the frozens. And even with the frozen mixed vegetables, they can be really great. You can get a huge variety. You don't have to spend your time chopping things up as well if you're in a rush, and it's a whole lot cheaper. And it can be really quick to throw together if you've got some frozen veggies in the freezer, you've got maybe some rice or noodles in the cupboard that you can team up with some meat, or maybe some alternatives like tofu or beans and lentils, and that can be, yeah, a really quick win.
Can I just confirm, Amanda, something you just said, which is that in terms of nutritional value, there's not that much of a difference between fresh versus frozen canned, because I've heard other people, read other things where people said, you know, the moment you pick it, a day or two later, it's lost most of its nutritional value. Is that just a load of baloney?
Well, there is truth to that. So whenever you pick a fruit or a vegetable, it does start to leach nutrients. And even with some of our fresh stuff, because they're transported quite long distances and it can take time from when they're picked to getting to the supermarket, waiting in a warehouse, then sitting in our cupboards or in our fruit bowl for a few days, there is some nutrient loss there. But when things are like snap lock frozen, picked straight away, there's less of that time, so the nutrients stay within the fruit or the vegetable.
How do you get around that problem, which you mentioned before, Amanda, of all the temptations that a supermarket might throw in your path as you head towards the checkout?
Yeah, it is really overwhelming in the supermarkets. There's like tens of thousands of products out there that are all vying for our attention on the shelf. So manufacturers use lots of marketing techniques with the naming of products, the bright colours, even supermarkets. There's lots of signage around the stores, specials, deals that can be really tempting. But again, going back to if you have that list, sticking to that, that can be a helpful tip. Or another move that has happened kind of in the last couple of years is move to online shopping. A benefit of that is there's less distractions. You can just search for the products that you need, and then you can actually keep a tally and see how you're spending as you go. Because I know I've been to the supermarket recently just to pick up a few things, and you get a bit of a shock at the checkout, not realizing how many things and how much it costs along the way. So that is another tip as well, trying to shop online.
You don't think that the big supermarket chains will get, you know, wary of this and realize they've got to start throwing those temptations in when you're buying online? I mean, if I was a marketer working for them, I'd be starting to think about that now.
I mean, yeah, there still is temptation online. There's lots of advertising that we're exposed to when we're browsing and stuff like that. So it's never something that we can ever avoid, but it is being more aware of it and thinking twice when you see things like special, multi-buy, promo. They don't always stack up. So having a look at what the price is for the product per 100 grams, because that's a way of actually seeing what the cost is and comparing products like we would do for that nutritional content, comparing things per 100 gram.
Will you go for the store brand? Speaking of stores, you know, I can think of a few examples of that from the various big chains.
Absolutely. So the University of Auckland actually did some research a couple of years ago, and they looked at thousands of products, and they found that store brands are at least similar in nutrition content to the branded counterparts. And things like cereals, canned vegetables and canned fish were significantly cheaper compared with the branded versions.
Got a text here from David in Motueka. Brian, we avoid the supermarkets in preference for the Sunday market for fruit and veggie, where it's always a minimum of 30% cheaper. A minimum of 30% cheaper. We rarely eat takeaways or fritter money on a $5 coffee or something impecunious. Ms. 18 does. I'm assuming that's David talking about the teenager child. Yeah, I mean, that's another option, but that gets back to the issue of if you're going to go to the market and it's only once a week, then how are you going to store your fresh stuff and make sure you only get what you need? What are your techniques there?
So it can be about planning. Like what I try and do on a Sunday afternoon is think about, and this is what lots of other people do as well, is think about what's coming up for the week ahead, plan out some meals so I know that I'm going to have some leftovers, or if there's nights when I've got sports on or something else, making sure I've got some quick things to prepare. So even if you're not going to a supermarket, you're going to another type of market, if you've got those meals in mind, then you can be buying the ingredients for those meals.
How important is having a good freezing space? Like a big freezer, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, freezer space is important, but you know, when it is too big, then it can lead to that wastage as well, because things don't last forever in the freezer. So it is important to be always looking at what's in your freezer. I try and rotate things around so things don't get lost at the bottom of the freezer.
Okay, I'm thinking of a couple of examples now. Maybe one's not so seasonal now because we're coming out of winter, but still, I might do a roast. And mm-hmm. So that's quite a lot of meat. Say it's a lamb roast. And we want it to last. Or maybe it's a chicken roast, because we might start to worry about chicken going off sooner than lamb. What are some of the things we can do? We've got more food than we need for one night. In fact, it's probably going to be two or three. What are some of the things we might do? Let's go for the chicken example. We have a roast chicken. What we can do in subsequent days to make sure we make the most of that investment?
Yeah, again, leftovers. So if you've got some leftovers, roast vegetables with it, or you might get a bit sick. I know I get a bit tired of eating the same things day in and day out. And we know that variety is really important in our diet as well. So you could make the chicken into another meal. You could put it in a pasta dish. You could put it in a stir fry. There's some really great websites that you can go to and look for ideas. One that I really recommend is Love Food, Hate Waste. They've got some great recipes, particularly for some of the foods that we throw out quite a lot in New Zealand, which are things like bread, potatoes, rice. They've got some really great ideas to reduce the waste of those types of things.
Oh, I'd forgotten about bread. And you know, as we head into the warmer months, mold.
Yeah, storing it in the fridge can help, because if live somewhere humid as well, that can, or in the freezer, and then just taking out bits as you need it. That's another good tip as well.
Yeah, that's what we do. Every now and then, of course, the poor old fridge gets absolutely stuffed full of stuff. And why else can you do with bread? No, because it's still going to go stale. What's one thing you do with bread to make it last a bit longer once maybe it's gone past the sandwich period?
Yeah, well, I generally try and keep mine in the freezer, but you can make things like breadcrumbs out of your bread as well, especially the crust as well. That's another good tip to make sure you're using up bread. And again, on that Love Food, Hate Waste website, there's lots of great ideas, like even making it into bread and butter pudding, jazzing it up, thinking of something different.
Bread and butter pudding. What are the basics of that?
Sorry?
What are the basics of bread and butter pudding? Obviously bread and butter, but what else? What's the sweetener?
There is some sugar in that, but but hey, it's all about portion sizes and sharing it as well. So it's based on bread. You can add things like currants and sultanas. There's egg, there's milk in there as well. You can add vanilla essence, other spices like nutmeg to season it. So lots of it is, you know, some of those kind of pantry staples that most people would have on hand, which is another, you know, more affordable recipe. It might be a bit of a treat too.
Enas wants to know, how do you keep your lettuce fresh?
Ah, yes, that's a good one. So a good way of storing the lettuce is in a sealed container in the fridge. And if you put some paper towels in there too, that can help absorb some of the moisture. So that's how I store my lettuce leaves, and they do tend to last for longer. It's coming into springtime, it's getting a little bit warmer, so I've just planted some lettuce plants out on my patio. I don't have a lot of space, so in some containers. So then, you can just pick off lettuce as long as the slugs don't get to it first, and just use those bits as you go, and then you're not having to worry about storing it in the fridge as well.
Yeah, and that's what I do in my garden, and I've had a really good supply of rock, which has only just run out this year. But no, I'm curious though. So the paper, what do you put that in, say, your sealed plastic container, put the lettuce, do you put the paper tissue inside the sealed container as well?
Yeah, just put it on the bottom. Yeah.
Somebody, there was another text that I wanted to share with you. Let's see. Omaru, this is from Brent. Sitting, listening, eating leftover kumara, tomato, corn, bean, chickpea, turmeric, and egg noodle curry. 80% of the ingredients out of the can. And your guest is right. Tastes even better a night later. But that's what I was thinking of. And that was, you've already mentioned plastic containers for lettuce, but other ways of storing food that might help you make that food stay edible for longer and healthy for longer. Obviously, the fridge and freezer, but containers as well, using them wisely.
Yeah, another really great tip that I learned from Kate Meads, who was also featuring on Eat Well for Less NZ, broccoli, a great tip for storing that. Think of it as a flower. So actually, if you store it in your fridge in a jar or a cup of water, like a flower, that will help it last for longer. Because often if it's just left in the fridge, it goes a bit limp. So that's another tip for storing broccoli.
Well, basically, just imagine it's a bouquet.
Yeah, looks great in the fridge too, like that.
I got then this another tip. By the way, you're listening to Amanda Bryan on Nights with me, Brian Crump. She's our nutritionist, and we're talking about healthy food on a limited budget, especially given the level of inflation we're dealing with at the moment, which for food is probably around about the 10% mark. Pam has a suggestion. Handy hint for online shopping: set your screen to black and white mode as to avoid the distracting bright colors. What do you think of that one?
I hadn't thought of that one, but yeah, often, yeah, color is a tip that those marketers use to catch our attention. So I might have to try that one too.
What do you think about the wisdom of soup as a waste removal, a waste buster?
Yeah, that's another great one. If you've got some leftovers, things that are kind of getting a bit past their best before date, soup is another good thing to whiz them all together, and it freezes well too. So I'd recommend that one.
And if you do buy fresh fruit and you're getting near the bottom of the bowl and maybe it's not looking so good, what are some of the things you do rather than just chucking that fresh fruit out? Or maybe it's starting to go bad. You know it's going to go bad and you can't eat it all in time.
So you can freeze it, make it into things like smoothies. I never get through my bananas in time, so I've always got a couple of bananas kicking around in the freezer. But again, they're really great for baking. So yeah, never let them go to waste.
How do bananas good freezers? Do they thaw all right?
Yep, they thaw all right. Yep, they get a bit mushy, but I mean that moisture is good, especially if you're using them in baking. And that's another tip as well. Bananas, the gases that they emit can cause other fruits or vegetables to ripen more quickly. So
Yes.
it's a good idea to store them away from other things, unless you've got avocados and you want to ripen them more quickly.
I know that this is something I've done. It's all I'm always using the bananas to ripen the avocados. But I've got a friend whose daughter is for some kind of business venture, wants to make a whole lot of burritos, and she's bought dozens and dozens of avocados, which are now slowly curing in their kitchen. And I'm thinking, I hope they haven't got any bananas nearby, because that'd be carnage.
Yeah, Yeah, and actually, avocados are quite cheap at the moment. So, what I recommend is buying them green and then ripening them up at home, because there's nothing more disappointing than buying an avocado and then cutting it open and it's all bruised from someone else. So, if you buy them green, other people aren't bruising them and you don't have that disappointment. You just have to wait that little bit longer to have them.
I talked about using your meat meal, your big roast, if you have one, and using the leftovers through many days. I remember one thing, for example, that my mother used to do with a lamb roast was you would have cold meat for a meal, particularly in the summertime later on. And the other thing she used to do was mince up the lamb, put it in the mincer, and turn it into something like shepherd's pie or rissoles. Which both of those I absolutely loved as a kid, loved them. But what if you're either vegetarian or, okay, you can make the roast last, but it's still expensive. What are some of your substitutes for that big protein hit that are cheaper?
So, things that are probably underutilized in our New Zealand diet are beans and legumes. So, they're seriously underrated. They're really cheap, they're really affordable, especially if you buy them dried. But even if you buy them already hydrated in tins, they add a whole new dimension to a meal because they are a plant source of protein. They add lots of fiber to our diet as well, and we can't get that from meat. So, they can be a really good addition to a meal, especially if you've got a lot of mouths to feed. And we know that meat can be an expensive part of the meal. So, if you're, an example might be you're making a lasagna or a spaghetti bolognese. So, with your mince, adding some lentils to it, and it can be a bit of a sneaky way of adding in some more plants, some more nutrition to people that might be a little bit less adventurous as well.
What's some panzanella, Amanda?
Panzanella, I believe that is an Italian bread salad. So that's a way, if I'm thinking of the correct thing.
Yeah.
So that's a way of using up stale bread. Just kind of making it into croutons. So, roasting it with some oil and then adding it into a salad. Traditionally, I believe it is with tomatoes. So, they are a little bit pricey at the moment, but perhaps if you're growing them yourself, that could be a really great summer meal.
We've stewed apples and preserved apples. We haven't talked about preserving
No, we
fruit.
haven't.
That's another option, isn't it, Amanda?
It is definitely another option, and that is something my grandmother used to do. And actually, my mother is a big fan of that. Preserving fruits, vegetables, making them into relishes as well. That's another option if you've got a surplus, so you can enjoy them for longer.
Amanda, if a family's on a really tight budget, is eschewing fresh food because fruit and vegetables because that's so expensive and just going for canned and frozen going to give your family what it needs in those really tight times?
Yeah, like we talked about before, there is really little difference in terms of nutritional value between fresh, frozen, and tinned. So I would really encourage people to always have some frozen vegetables, some tinned vegetables and fruit in the pantry. And, don't feel bad about it just because lots of the advertising is for fresh being best. You're still going to get great nutrition from the tinned and canned and frozen versions for a whole lot cheaper.
What would be the things you might go for in terms of best bang for buck in terms of fresh, if you want to make sure you're still getting a bit of fresh stuff? I'm wondering whether carrots might be one.
They
Would you
are, it can be
agree?
a bit. Yeah, I agree. At the moment, it can be a little bit tricky though, because some of the things that have traditionally been more in season, because we're having more of these global events, these conflicts, weather events that are affecting our food supply, things that are, traditionally have been cheaper aren't necessarily always. I was at the supermarket earlier today. Carrots are definitely one of the cheaper things at the moment, so they're a good one. But cabbage would, traditionally be one of those things that we'd recommend as something really cheap. They're actually $8 a cabbage. So we do need to, some of those things that are traditionally cheaper fresh, Not necessarily at the moment.
What
So
about
again, that's where growing your own can come into it and going to the actual markets to get a cheaper deal.
I got this text from, I don't think they left a name, but it's a nice little story. Refrugal food shopping. Use up vegetables left at the end of the week for soup. Make several meals from a chicken. Always have milk powder. It's used for sauces, custards, or make half fresh and dried milk to drink. Less fresh fruit makes great crumbles and desserts. That's from Cheers. Cheers, cheers.
Cheers, great tips. One of my sisters would always make apple crumble, actually, when our apples were going a bit, getting a bit past their best. So I would agree. And you can use any type of fruit in a crumble, stew them, add a bit of crumble on top. Delicious.
So Amanda, hand on heart here, have you managed to eliminate your food waste in your household?
Almost. So I do have a little compost bin. So for the things that, you know, I can't minimize. So I would like to think that I try my best to minimize food waste, and just, you know, by things like planning things out, that really makes a difference. Another thing that there was some interesting research from the University of Auckland again that came out earlier in the year, and thinking about, you know, maybe if you do have a surplus, it can be a really good idea to share that with other people who, you know, might be more in need. They had a look at people's eating behaviours over the pandemic, and what they found is people with really strong community networks, that was actually a protective factor against food insecurity, because it was about, you know, sharing food, home cooking, eating together, all those types of things. So often, you know, when things are, it's feeling a bit doom and gloom with inflation and everything going up, you know, I think it's important to think about some of the protective factors. And if you do have extra, you know, can you donate to a food bank? There's a growing movement of pataka kai, which are food pantries. You might have seen them around your neighbourhood,
yep,
where you can drop off non-perishable items that you might have too much of that someone else in need can pick up. So I thought that was just a really nice thing to think about when things are feeling, you know, a bit more negative at the moment.
Amanda, it's been a real pleasure chewing the fat, or lack of fat, non-fat with you. Thanks so much for your time this evening.
Thank you, and great tips from the listeners out there too.
Oh yes, thanks Amanda, and thank you listeners. That's Amanda Bryan from the World of Nutrition and Eating Healthy on a Tight Budget, or an ever-tightening budget.